folks. So today I'm going to do a bit of a sort of response video to Academic Agents video, which I've got a feeling was itself like a bit of a response to my last video, where I went for a little wander in the countryside, and I brought up the problem of people who just pass through the countryside and they aren't actually present. They aren't actually really there. You know, you think of the girl wandering through with her earphones on. I even suggested that maybe the farmer in his tractor, even he was kind of disconnected or distant from the countryside and from his immediate surroundings and this kind of thing. And so as if to sort of prove that point and like go all the way in on it, Academic Agent went for a walk last week sometime in the countryside with his family in Wales. And so he began posting these. Like, his immediate take on that was a sort of postmodern cynicism. Now, I do think he kind of layered it quite thick here to sort of belabor the point, which is fair enough. So because it does open up a decent discussion. But so he was like thinking in terms of that he looked at the river and it felt like he'd been there in a video game. And he wondered, you know, that everything was a reference to a reference, and he felt that he had to post all of these images immediately on Twitter for that reason, I think, to signal that he wasn't having a really good time or an authentic time. So in his video, he describes how he feels like he was Faust on the outside, or Mephistopheles on the outside of heaven, looking in at it. So Faustian man can never again achieve any kind of authenticity, and he's always going to be on the outside of that. And this is the curse, of course, of Marlowe and Goethe's great play, great poem. And so I thought it was interesting because I had I went for a walk yesterday, and he messaged me when I came back. Well, there was a message waiting there when I came back, and with the video and the general gist of it, you may think this is interesting, but I'd gone for a walk myself yesterday, a long one, and it tells a bit of a different story. So on the one hand, you've got this idea of being in what should be a beautiful place and having this kind of relaxing, almost religious feeling on you, and AA saying, it doesn't affect me that way at all. I just feel like a complete, I feel like I'm on the outside of this looking in. And I was out yesterday and I went for a long walk. I set off early and I went up into a part of Northumberland where I don't normally go that much. But I went off with just me and my little terrier. And the weather really, I thought we were done. I thought it was, I did the video, I thought it was autumn. I didn't think we were going to get hot weather like this anymore. And so I set off with the dog on a really like huge hike. And what happened was that the sun came out and blasted us both. And I didn't take the phone precisely because I think, so in AA's case, when you've got a phone in your pocket and the phone's connected to the internet, like that's one of the reasons why you're not really, you feel like you're not really in a place of beauty, because you're still connected to the main grid. You're still attached to social media. So that pretty little river or a bridge or whatever, it can't compete with what is potentially the instant sort of gratification of thousands of followers on Twitter or whatever it happens to be. So this is why, I mean, I'll take the phone if I'm intending to do a video. By and large, I never take the phone out of the house. So then on top of that, I didn't take any water either. And the dog began to have a bit of a hard time with it. So obviously, when you're on a large hike, that's all well and good. But the problem is, dogs are crap at dealing with heat. And so my dog began to pant, like really, it was getting to an emergency situation. So we had to stop for a while and I had to ponder what to do, because I could turn around. I didn't have any money either. So I could turn around and come back, like the say 4 or 5 miles that I'd already come, knowing that the dog was going to have to sort of double, to do double the journey. Or I could carry on with the walk that I intended because I thought there was a burn or a pond somewhere further up. So that's actually what I chose to do. But then things got worse again because I ended up having to trudge alongside of a dual carriageway for a few miles because I thought there was a footpath there and it wasn't. I think the farm had ploughed it over, ploughed it under, which is a thing the farmers are doing here now, which they shouldn't be allowed to do that, but they are doing it. And so the a path that I thought I was there just disappeared. And then I've still got the problem now that I'm walking alongside a busy road with a dog that's overheated with no water, no phone, nothing. And so then I made the executive decision to basically climb over the hedge, and I ended up having to carry the dog for about 2 or 3 miles until I eventually got to the burn. Now, what I thought was interesting about this is that I mean, I'm not saying it was some huge emergency or disaster. Well, it wasn't much more than the minor irritation. Though, again, you do have to be very careful with dogs overheating and running themselves, running after pheasants and just going berserk in the hot weather because they end up knackered. Now, the thing about this is, if you contrast that, there was not really any time to kind of. This you were in a mode. I was in a mode of like low grade panic, and so there's not really time to dick around with like references to references and thinking about how postmodern it is or lamenting that I can't get this on social media, because there's a bit of a more serious situation unfolding before my eyes that I had to deal with. And all of a sudden, when that be it becomes something like more real and more visceral, and you actually really are there. And one of the reasons for that is the you're not just because you're not just like a sort of passive tourist gliding through the land, perfectly okay. You've got a problem on your hands that you have to deal with. And I think one of the things it comes down with is that you're no longer in control. Or at least you're trying to maintain control of the situation, and deal with what is, a bit of a minor problem, which you don't want to become a major problem. And so this is a completely different framing where you to try and prevent this complete loss of control. And this is, of course, why people end up feeling safe, and feeling safe all of the time takes people out of out of the land, if you like, where they don't really have that connection to it, because the land is something which is it's almost like this abstract thing. I mean, one of the reasons why I'm at my wit's end at the digital IDs, the social credit system, which is now coming in, which is coming in by deceit, deception, and lies, by the way. But what's worse again is that what it actually does. And so in the future, it'll just be impossible for you to disconnect from the internet. And so the technology is moving from where it's been passive. And you can adopt it or discard it depending on choice, and I try to discard it as much as I can. But what we're going to get in the future is where that's just no longer possible anymore, because you'll be on there monitored, and it's going to be literally controlling what you can do in this like insidious way of giving you points and this gamification of opening up opportunities depending on if your score's high enough, and all of these kinds of things. And so all of a sudden, I mean, it's a Faustian thing as well, because in Faustian terms, it's as if we are now falling into our machine, where your choice and our mastery over the machine, over the technology, is flipped, and you become a slave to it. Some people will argue that that's been a process which goes back a long way, but in this, like directly imposing itself on the individual, in like micromanaging the individual's life and dictating through incentives and whatnot, like what you should be doing, what you should be eating, monitoring how far you've walked all of this time, every day, monitoring what your heart rate is, what's in your fridge, all everything, how much, what are your carbon credits? I find it disgusting, and the problem with it is that you'll never be able to escape from it. You'll never be able to have that authentic moment where all of that is like away somewhere, and that you're actually just yourself out in the countryside. It'll be removed from you. You'll be permanently on the grid, being monitored all of the time. And it is a kind of technocratic hell. I cannot put it any other way. It's just disgusting. I mean, part of the Faustian problem is that one of the drives was to conquer nature and demand that nature gives up all of her secrets. And you can see this as well. So you can go into a place which is wild, if there's any places like that left, and feel safe. I remember going to the Norwegian fjords where they had it all, like they had special car parks there, so that you could look up at a specially nice waterfall coming over the side of the fjord and this kind of thing. And I always thought, like, it's kind of sad because it means that every cripple, every fat slob, everybody has access to that site because of like technology, because they can just drive there and park up and pull out some binoculars. But there's another element to it as well, which kind of touches on AA's point, which is that if you looked at the footage of the Norwegian fjords on YouTube, which of course, we're back to that problem, that you're looking at it on the internet, on technology. But leaving that aside, like if you can look at like stunning 40K drone footage, and if you look at the comments underneath will be people saying that it looks like Skyrim. So Skyrim was this video game where it was like this kind of huge vistas of Nordic wilderness, and looked like Iceland, and some of it's like the Highlands of Scotland and Norway and this kind of thing. And so their sort of frame of reference puts that as the like Skyrim would be the authentic article, and then the actual landscape would look like Skyrim. That comes first. But the thing is, in both cases, like it's a complete detachment and looking in at nature from the outside. Whether you're looking at it from, you're comparing it to Skyrim, or whether you're parking up the car and enjoying it from perfectly safe place like that, it completely takes away from what it is. On the other hand, which touches on my little story of being caught out in the sun with a dog, is that if you're then tasked with walking across the fjords, doing a 10-mile hike at night, in the depths of winter with no warm clothes and no water, then you'll find that all of that nonsense drifts away. If for whatever reason you're in that situation, that kind of postmodern cynicism and that kind of simulacra and all of this, that kind of clutter would quite quickly sort of fall by the wayside, and you wouldn't be thinking about it anymore. So what we see is where danger can reveal authenticity, or a loss of control over your surroundings and over your situation also reveals authenticity, which is why you see people, especially Westerners, the Faustians, doing like these kind of crazy things, or you'll like jumping off cliffs with bungee cords or whatever, or you'll see Western girls like going on holiday and getting themselves in all kind of trouble in third world countries because they find like the religion, or some backwards village in India will have some religious shrine, and they're off searching for authenticity, but what they're doing is taking themselves outside of the safety blanket. And so here we begin to see something quite interesting emerging now. One of the least discussed of the big, and he's the biggest of the biggest brain on the right. And I'm a lot of people are intimidated by him, including me, because his writing is so dense and complicated. But Martin Heidegger actually hit this sort of head on. And there's the Jonathan Bowden speech as well on YouTube, where he's called Martin Heidegger and Death's Ontology. So when asked at a lecture that he gave, by a student who asked Heidegger, how do I find authenticity in the real world? Martin Heidegger said that you should spend more time in graveyards. Now, there's a few things to be said for that, because what on the one hand, I think it's that he's trying to get at, he's trying to find out something in the modern mind to make people scared, to get them out of the comfort zone, and to create this space which they're not accustomed to. And then, of course, the emotions and that raw sort of animal drive will kick in, and the kind of the, or the thick blanket of modernity will fall away. The other one, of course, is that if you're staring death straight in the face, and you accept that that is the lot of everybody, it can give you a bit of a kick up the arse and take you out of this kind of cynical, ironic, comfortable worldview that everybody has. I mean, one interesting summary that I sort of came across for this was authentic people are free to live for themselves. They ignore Das Gerede or the chatter we hear in the media, the newspaper, the radio, television, and so on. His solution, Heidegger's, for us to ignore this is just an intense focus on our mortality or imminent death. When we realise that others can't save us from it, it's easier to stop living for them. Instead, we finally start living for ourselves and stop worrying about the popular opinion. What others think of us putting things on Twitter, or our acts, success and failures, and this kind of thing. You get a much sharper perspective of things if you confront your own mortality. And that is a constant. There's nothing going to change about that. When it happens, we don't know, but it will happen, and it will happen to all of us. So all of a sudden, from this perspective, there won't be an infinite amount of walks in the countryside, you know. The time is limited. That you don't get to wander, you know. In 100 years' time, we won't be discussing this kind of thing because we won't be here. So when you bring that on board, when you reframe things in a more of an existential way, then a lot of the crap and the clutter of modernity does actually fall by the wayside. And when I actually did go to Norway, I think I was totally in that frame of mood. I did treat it like just a postcard. It was like being in a postcard and not in any kind of spiritual experience. And I think one of the things that when I look back on it, and how now I unironically love to be outdoors in nature. And I think that began to change when my childhood friends started to drop dead a few years ago. When you get to your late 30s and people, you know, the amount of people that I'd known who are now dead, like, it seems to increase quite a bit. And so, and people, oh no, this is a black pill. This is life, you know. So you can do away with a lot of fakeness, when you stare at things like this. So that's just some thoughts on that. Thanks for listening, folks. I'll catch you later.